Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The show was suspended by Disney last Wednesday, but despite Kimmel's return, some ABC affiliates owned by Sinclair Broadcasting Group and Nexstar Media Group are still preempting the show.
I'm Lauren Berry, and welcome to On Deadline, a deep dive into your radio news from Odyssey stations across the country. Would he or wouldn't he? That was the question on the minds of many this Tuesday before Jimmy Kimmel took the late night stage for his return after being suspended by ABC for a joke he made about the assassin of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Would he address the elephant in the room? That being the 10 tons of reaction levied at ABC for the decision to pull his show over political pressure, it was a big question. Would he apologize? Would he double down in some way? Or brazen it out and act like nothing had happened? Well, we got the answer when Kimmel took the stage with a pretty simple explanation.
It was never my intention to make light of the murder of a young man.
I don't think there's anything funny about it.
I posted a message on Instagram on the day he was killed, sending love to his family and asking for compassion, and I meant it. I still do. Nor was it my intention to blame any specific group for the actions of what it was obviously a deeply disturbed individual. This show is not important. What is important is that we get to live in a country that allows us to have a show like this.
But in Kimmel's return to the air, he also criticized ABC affiliates for taking his show off the air, calling it, quote, not legal and un-American. He also thanked supporters for speaking out against the administration. It's worth noting that President Donald Trump criticized ABC for reinstating Kimmel, calling him, quote, not funny. The president also suggested that it could be an illegal campaign contribution, hinting at further action. And while Disney decided to push back against the president, some major operators are still refusing to air the show. So why did Disney, the parent company of ABC, backtrack and put him back on air? KCBS in the Bay Area talked to Jeff Jarvis, a media commenter and journalism professor, for more on this.
A lot of this protest was foreseeable, so why do you think Disney backtracked?
I think Disney put themselves in the middle of a vice. Bob Iger by acceding to the pressure and preempting Kimmel, put himself in a position where he was going to see protest from fans of democracy, and nothing he could do would ever be good enough to support to satisfy the authoritarians. And the damage is done. It's not as if this now erases anything. Jimmy Kimmel's going to look like he's in a hostage video. Because whatever he says is going to have been approved, and he's thus compromised. I respect him, and I respect what he'll do and what he'll say, but he's in an unwinnable position. ABC is in an unwinnable position because the far-right companies that own most of the TV stations in America now will still keep fighting because that's what Trump and company want. Nexstar still wants to merge with Tegna, and that requires FCC approval, so they're going to keep trying to get more flesh, having tasted the flesh of ABC and Disney and Kimmel. And Sinclair, the far-right company that owns the rest of the stations, or most of them, has said that they wouldn't put it back on until Kimmel apologized personally and gave to Turning Point. So everybody's in a compromised awful position now. And I'm glad that Kimmel will be back, but I don't envy him. And I mourn all the damage done by this.
You know, in Stephen Colbert's case, the network said, CBS, that they were losing money there. That's been apparently the criticism of all the late night shows. Do you buy into that?
No, not in this case, because if that was the case, why did they renew the contract the last time? Why didn't they cancel it before? Why didn't they find ways to save money on the show and, let's say, get rid of the band, have fewer writers? It's an empty argument. This was not a business decision. That's what the right tries to claim. It was a political and by the way, unconstitutional decision because it came with pressure from the federal government.
What are your thoughts now? We were having a lot of arguments about free speech and where it's going, and today even the Pentagon's trying to force reporters to get OKs before they print the material. What do you think?
We're lost. I have never been so depressed about the state of my country than I am now. I've spent 50 years of my life devoted to journalism, some of it in San Francisco at the Old Examiner, and journalism education. And I despair at what's happened with our field, our failure to cover the rise of fascism, our failure to even use the word. Now, as we discussed last time we talked, far right-wing allies of Trump, the Ellisons, Larry and David, control not only CBS News, but also probably coming up CNN, as well as TikTok. There's no place to report. There's no place to dissent. Mass media are dead and dying, and I'm not sure where to turn. Sorry to be so depressing, but that's how I look at it right now.
All right, Jeff. Thank you so much for joining us. That's Jeff Jarvis. He is a journalism professor, and he's written for, as you heard, The Examiner and other publications.
So those are the facts, but here's some analysis from the Mark Cox Show in St. Louis.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Different wavelengths. I thought there was no way ABC would bring him back. I mean, he's badmouthed ABC how many times, right? And ABC, you thought maybe had learned the lesson. And not to mention, you know what, though? I thought, well, they're going to ride this wave of national attention and think they're going to get some good ratings for a while with him. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because there will be a lot
maybe.
Of people retuning in for the relaunch or whatever and his apology. And you will, they'll get a whole nother news cycle out of this. But his show still sucks, so it won't.
Like Sinclair is still not going to air on some other big markets like Washington, D.C. and Seattle and Columbus. And I'm trying to remember some of the bigger ones, but there's a lot of large markets that are just not going to air his show until it's made good. And it doesn't look like Jimmy Kimmel has any interest in making this good. He just wants to let that thing fester, the poorly timed comments he made.
Wouldn't this be a great time for somebody to do a syndicated show that Nexstar and Sinclair and other stations that don't want Kimmel could pick up? Like, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
And
like somebody who's entertaining and actually funny to come out with a little podcast-like hosted show? And
well, they've
and-
tried that. What was the one show they did on Dish, and they still might do it? It's like a morning show. It's like an urban morning show, and they try to syndicate it to look like a TV show. And it's
didn't
I don't
work.
Think it does any well on the ratings. And it was on and off TV for a little while. I would say that if they're going to do anything, it would have to be low rent, meaning they don't got money, man. No one's got this let's go lose $30 million a year on a show type of money anymore.
Why couldn't Gutfeld make his available? Well, of course, it's not ABC stations. That's the problem. But I'm saying, why doesn't he make that available to Fox stations, right? Fox affiliate stations. Why couldn't Fox News provide that to them? I mean, I think Gutfeld on broadcast, his numbers would crush everybody, because everybody currently has to have cable in order to pick it up. And so many people in the Midwest still, believe it or not, are still on broadcast TV. And they're kind of, you know, they've got three stations to choose from, and all of them are, you know, liberal late night shows.
Yep.
Here's more on how Trump felt about Kimmel's return from Vivi Lanoub-Gabriel on the LA Local.
I think if they cancel other people and keep them canceled, they should keep him canceled. Someone gets canceled for a tweet, he's talking about someone who got murdered, assassinated.
Yeah, it's still a lot of reaction out there on the suspension of Jimmy Kimmel, and he spoke out. All right, so we're going to start with Jimmy Kimmel. He shared a photo on Instagram with the late Norman Lear, calling him a First Amendment hero in writing, missing this guy today. As you probably know, that happened after Kimmel made these comments about Charlie Kirk's murder.
New lows over the weekend, with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them, and doing everything they can to score political points.
Yeah, so the FCC chair then appeared to threaten ABC on a podcast. Here's a little bit of that.
I mean, look, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. These companies can find ways to change conduct, to take action, frankly, on Kimmel, or, you know, there's going to be additional work for the FCC ahead.
Carr is now saying he never threatened Disney, so the show is back. But that doesn't mean everyone will be able to watch it. Sinclair and Nexstar, two companies that own dozens of ABC affiliates throughout the country, have announced they will not air it. We talked to Wall Street Journal entertainment reporter Joe Flint about what that means.
Nexstar has a very large deal that will go before the FCC. It hasn't yet, but a $6.2 billion acquisition of a company called Tegna that owns TV stations. Sinclair doesn't have any current deals before the FCC, but any local broadcaster like Tegna and Sinclair, they're always doing some sort of business with the FCC. They're renewing licenses. They're trying to build new facilities, lots of things that need government approval. So the idea that Carr would pressure broadcast licensees about content certainly can be seen as having a potential chilling effect.
And President Trump has repeatedly framed the whole thing this way.
You know what suspended him? His talent. You know what else is really what? Take a look at this guy, his ratings.
We spoke with Deadline's Dominic Patton, who said TV ratings don't really matter now when it comes to late night shows. Today, it's about viral clips, play on streaming services, and having the most MC special programs like award shows.
Every year for decades, ABC, when they do their upfronts in front of all the advertisers in New York, they have Jimmy Kimmel come out and roast all of them. And they love it. So if you're looking at simply the business model of late night, it's very successful because it is one of the few things that a TV network in 2025 can use to spread across all its platforms as a brand coherent strategy. And that is real money in the bank.
Yeah, so no late night host now will ever get the ratings. For example, Johnny Carson did, but that's because there was no internet and there are only three major networks. So clearly a lot has changed since then.
Kevin Parsnow isn't a late night host. He's a professor, but he too knows what it's like to be targeted for his words following the Charlie Kirk assassination. Here's a discussion with the professor on WCCO in Minneapolis.
Congressman Brad Finstead has called for his resignation or for him to be fired. Professor Parsnow, let's talk about what you wrote on social media about Charlie Kirk. At one point, you wrote referring to Kirk as a, quote, POS, a word I cannot say what the S stands for, who died of the violence he promoted happening to others, and later adding that ignoring that racist POS is the only thing the Vikings did right on Sunday, which is a reference to the fact that the Vikings did not honor Charlie Kirk at their game last Sunday.
your thoughts about Congressman Finstead calling for your resignation or firing over those comments.
Okay. Well, first off, it's weird to be introed by the Jimmy Kimmel clip. I'm not a late night comedian or any kind of a famous celebrity, so it's really weird to have a congressman and his allies stalking me around social media just to score political points off me whenever I have a cranky outburst online. I mean, I guess it's something he can just fundraise off of whatever reasons he has. The university has not said anything about me having to be laid off or fired or anything like that, and I don't intend to do so. Yeah, sure, I was arguing about football online, and politics got into the conversation. And yeah, I swore about NFL teams holding memorials to Charlie Kirk. I've been watching the NFL for 50 years, and I haven't seen any kind of memorial like that for anyone. I mean, like maybe the Steelers held something for Chuck Knoll or Tom Landry was with the Dallas Cowboys, you know, Bud Grant. None of those guys got some kind of league-wide memorial when they passed away. And it's just kind of irked me. And yeah, I was saying it online, and I used swear words, and I did actually say POS. I didn't use the words you can't say. I said that, but frankly, if Finstead, Representative Finstead, had not said anything about it, 10 people would have seen it, you know? And I'm not, I don't have a bunch of followers. I don't have a late night talk show. I don't have a press secretary to set up press conferences. I just, I have a member of Congress stalking me and scoring political points off me.
Well, let's set aside what the Vikings did or didn't do to honor Charlie Kirk. Congressman Finstead writes this. While hundreds of young people gathered in Mankato to mourn Charlie Kirk and honor his legacy, they were forced to see their professor mock his murder. That is beyond unacceptable. I once again call on Minnesota State University Mankato to take action and demand Mr. Parsno's immediate resignation. Our students deserve better. The fact of the matter is you do make an impression on students. I imagine over your career, it's been thousands of students. And the congressman is concerned about what kind of an influence you have on them. Is that fair?
No. I mean, yeah, he can be concerned about the kind of influence I have on students. My influence is hopefully teaching them how a bill becomes a law. There's not a Democratic version or a Republican version of how a bill becomes a law. So I don't really have that in my classroom. But that, I mean, come on. He's being ludicrous to say that students were forced to hear me. I said it at home, on the internet, on Facebook, none of my students, I don't let them follow me. I don't connect with them on social media. They wouldn't have heard anything about it. Also, I haven't had a chance. I didn't get in on this. I was in no way glorifying violence or anything like that. I've said many times before Representative Finstead attacked me and since Representative that, that what happened to Charlie Kirk was horrible. That's a terrible thing, you know? And yeah, Charlie Kirk.
Why then do you have to refer to him as a POS died of the violence he promoted happening to others? At best, that seems ill-timed. And it's hard to understand why you would decide to put that, you know, as well as anyone. Anything you put on the internet, even if you don't have many followers, if one follower with a megaphone picks that up, it's going to be everywhere. And now it's been in news publications, and now it's all over the internet. You understand how that happens.
I absolutely understand it. I did not expect it to be picked up like that, obviously. My disagreement with him, with Charlie Kirk's comments, are that, you know, he has said a lot of things. There's lists of them, but in particular, you know, he said that gun deaths are an acceptable price to pay for the Second Amendment. He said it would be heroic to bail out the man who assaulted Paul Pelosi. He said Joe Biden should be executed. And he said that the Civil Rights Act was a big mistake. These are all things I seriously disagree with him.
And it's okay to, but it's okay to disagree with someone, but then to call him a POS in just the days after he's been assassinated in front of, you know, hundreds or thousands of people.
Okay, fine. It's inappropriate to do that. I'm not going to argue that it's appropriate, but that's not the same as saying, I mean, Representative Finstad is claiming I'm glorifying violence. And in no way was I glorifying violence.
Now,
my point, can I just make the point that, like, yeah, I mean, but I believe that some of the positions that Charlie Finstad held make political violence more likely. Make political violence more likely and easier, right? Easier access to firearms. I totally agree. The Second Amendment's great, but I think we can have it without having an acceptable number of children shot in schools and things. That's pretty disagreeable. And he made his life off of saying disagreeable things. And sure, I shouldn't have said it right after he passed away or was assassinated or shot, I guess. But I didn't, and I know people can pick it up, but you don't expect everything you say to be picked up like that.
Now,
Go ahead.
last thing for you. This is not the first time this has happened. You commented several months ago after Brian Thompson was murdered, the United Healthcare executive, and you said on social media, it's going to be disappointing if he's a one-off killer instead of a serial killer, talking about Brian Thompson's murderer. This seems a lot like what you have now said about Charlie Kirk. So there seems to be a pattern here.
Okay. I'll just put it. That comment was made on a private page in a communication with a bartender friend, and his page was full of jokes. And I get that. And my comment was meant to be facetious, which is to say, right, treating a very serious issue with deliberate, inappropriate humor. Like I said last time, I didn't even know this executive. I didn't advocate him being shot or anything like that. And I hope they convict whoever killed him if this Luigi Mangione did it. Right? I mean, if somebody said, you know, that Leonardo DiCaprio film was the worst disaster associated with the Titanic, that's facetious. You're not approving of the deaths of the passengers on the Titanic. You're making a comment about how bad the film is. And my comment was meant to make a comment on how bad the healthcare crisis was. And yeah, is it something I would say in a big public speech? No. Is it something I say to my bartender's friend on a page that's supposed to be closed down? That's all a bunch of dark humor? Yes.
It seems to me Congressman Finstad's wondering, how often do you say things like this to your students? And should you say things like this to your students? And should students know that their professor says things like this online?
I don't say things like these to my students. I don't say them in class. I don't talk like things like this in my class. I don't friend or follow or connect with my students on social media. I get it. It's unprofessional, but you don't expect that you have to be professional at all times.
As a university professor, I think there maybe is that obligation or expectation.
You know, to tell you the truth, you should always tell the truth, but to just say it, like, yeah, I guess from now on, I'm going to realize that I will just keep, I'm not going to promise to not say anything like that ever again. I'm not going to promise to leave the internet, but I'm going to just say, hey, my social media is not private in any way. And I have a congressman who wants to attack me so he can fundraise off it.
All right,
and that's going to become public.
He is Professor Kevin Parsnow from Minnesota State University, Mankato. You say the administration has not talked to you about being fired or laid off, and you have no plans to resign.
Yeah, I have no plans to resign. This is a terrible, awkward situation. The worst thing about it is I don't think most of my students have any clue about my political beliefs, because there's no point in sharing that in class. Okay, now they're going to have, if they read the newspaper, if they listen to this interview, if they whatever, then they're going to hear this. Fine. I hope maybe they'll talk about it with me. And I don't feel like it's not my proudest moment. I didn't come on to, you know, I don't want to swear and use that language, but frankly, my head was arguing football and then politics slipped into it. And I was in a bad mood. And by the way, I would point out that you said last Sunday's memorial. This happened before the previous Sunday.
Yeah, I meant the last Vikings game. Yeah.
Yeah.
On a Sunday, the Sunday before. But
anyway, sorry, that's not that important.
Yeah. Well, Professor Kevin Parsnow, we do appreciate your coming on and trying to explain yourself. The listeners can decide whether they agree with you or not. And we'll see what Congressman Finstead, how far he plans to take this. But we do appreciate your willingness to come on and talk about these social media posts.
You know, if he wants to do a town hall, I'll show up and he can berate me all he wants. And I'll talk to him. Okay. I mean, fine.
Okay. Bye. Professor Kevin Parsnow, thank you for your time today. I appreciate it.
Many might consider Kimmel's return as a victory for free speech. But there's another story that's not getting nearly as much attention these days. And that's PBS. New Jersey's PBS station announced this week that it's shutting down because of federal and state funding cuts. Its operator says these cuts have been very significant and that it will be forced to pull the plug next June. You might remember that over the summer, Congress ended more than $1 billion in funding to public broadcasting, and the state legislature cut $750,000 from New Jersey PBS. Senator Cory Booker says that the closure of the station is a loss for all who live in the state. But a couple of Democratic state senators are calling for an analysis to figure out how to save PBS for New Jersey. For now, the fate of that station and many other federally funded public broadcasts are up in the air under Donald Trump, whose supporters have argued that these stations are too left-leaning and against the president. So what happens next? Stay with On Deadline to find out. This episode was written and produced by Christy Strouser and by me. Thank you so much for listening to On Deadline. You can subscribe to the show on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.